Today on the podcast, we have another amazing, informative, enlightening moon chat with the amazing Kathleen Berry. Hi, welcome to Happy Healthy Human Radio. I'm your host, Samantha Attard, coming at you from the beautiful Washington, D.C., though today, technically, I am located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I am an Ayurvedic coach, yoga instructor, and doula, sharing with you all the things I am learning about and teaching about in my everyday so that we can all live with just a little more balance, bliss, and confidence. I so appreciate you listening to this podcast, and if you do enjoy it, definitely subscribe, rate, and leave a review on iTunes, and then share with a friend who might enjoy it. And frankly, sharing with a friend is the greatest gift that you could give to me. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Very, very cool things happening. Starting March 2nd, I'm going to be teaching yoga over in Ballston. I'm hosting my own classes over at the Teal Center, which is just two blocks away from the Ballston Metro. We're going to have a 9 a.m. yoga basics, a 60-minute class to move slowly, steadily, learn the poses, find our alignment. And then we have 10:30, I'm calling it integrative vinyasa yoga. This is going to be a 90-minute class. Yes, 90 minutes. It's going to feel so good. Pro tip, if you're like, I don't know if I can do 90 minutes of yoga, when classes get longer, it just means you have more time for all the other good stuff. So we're going to, yes, definitely move. We're going to have such fun sequences and playlists, but we're also going to have time for meditation, for playing with mudras, for talking about yoga theory, and then also for having just a really fabulous, fabulous community in our Arlington area. So if you are interested, please do head on over to the website. It's behappyhealthyhuman.com. Check out the store so you can see the schedule of the yoga classes and sign on up. If you have any questions, send me a note. I'm over on Instagram at behappyhealthyhuman. I am truly so, so excited about these events that are coming up and I cannot wait. So please do share with your friends and also join. Also, couple save the dates. I have a workshop coming up March 6th. We're going to be doing Demystify Your Menstrual Cycle over at Apothecary in DC. Details coming soon to the website. And in May, we're doing a three-day yoga Ayurveda retreat over at Lake Anna. It's going to be beautiful. Lakefront house, delicious home-cooked vegan food. We're going to be doing cooking classes, twice-a-day yoga classes, including a private yoga session so you can really get to know your body. We'll talk about Ayurveda. We'll talk about chakras. It's going to be fabulous. So you can find more information if you go to the link bit.ly/May Yoga Retreat, no spaces or anything. Or again, send me a note because I'm always happy to just forward that link on to you and answer any questions you have. As you can tell, it is shaping up to be a beautiful spring around Happy Healthy Human headquarters. And I just can't thank you enough for all of your support, for showing up day in, day out, and being such a fabulous group of people to have the opportunity, blessing to know. So with that, let's get to our conversation with Kathleen Berry. She's a yoga instructor and an amazing astrology and tarot expert living here in Arlington, Virginia. She is a fabulous woman, a dear friend, and a wealth of knowledge. This conversation is so amazing. We get pretty darn deep into what it means to be self-reflective, to the hero's journey, to the relationship between earth and moon, as well as our relationship with ourselves and with our own light and dark side. I know you're going to love this conversation, so thank you for being here. Enjoy and have a fabulous day. Hello, Miss Kathleen.
Hello, Sam.
Welcome to another beautiful Friday moon chat. I love these moon chats because I learned something new about Anchor and about recording on Anchor. So it's really great. It's a really great thing.
Learning.
Yes. Aren't we always win or learn? It's one of my favorite phrases. Win or learn. Win or learn.
I like that.
I know, right? It's so true. How are you doing on this beautiful Friday moon day?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Really good. Really good. Up in Pennsylvania. Good place to be.
Nice. Greetings.
Yeah, I know. It makes my heart happy when I come up
north a little bit, because since I'm from Buffalo, like the architecture kind of changes, mm-hmm. and you kind of just feel like you're in like, gritty northeast. And I'm like, oh, it's I say it's ugly, and I think it just feels like home. So what's going on? What's going on in the planets and the cosmos and the stars? What do you got for us today, darling?
Well, there's, I feel, I don't want to get super repetitive because the cycle we have for our moon chat is so aligned to the new moon, full moon cycle, but it bears repeating that there's a full moon coming up on the 19th. So I believe that's Tuesday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's another super moon. So just, So it's not as exciting as the blood moon, though it is still exciting, but the idea that, it's going to be really big, basically. It's going to be, the moon will be really close to Earth. And part of that's because we're in the winter months and we're just closer in the cosmos to the moon. Yeah.
Makes sense. That's cool. I didn't realize that related to it.
Yeah. Well, and part of it too is, I wanted to just fill people in or just tell you a little more about like what it means when the moon is in a sign. So like this full moon's in Virgo, and we talked about Virgo. We've talked about it a lot, but we've never actually like said what the heck does that mean. And it means that, you know, the moon is physically in an aspect located in the constellation of Virgo. So
fascinating.
So that's going to give this full moon, like both the light and shadow parts of that sign, just like it, when it was in Leo, it'll be in the light and shadow parts of that sign. So I think it's a cool way to learn about not only the lunar cycle, but just about like signs in general, because if the moon's in Virgo, it's going to be much more about like, I really liked this description. So let me just repeat it off of the moon, mooncalendar.astroseek.com. That's a long one. But this idea around like order and clarity. Mm-hmm. So knowing what we know that full moons are about, things coming to fruition, endings, culminations, what order and clarity can you have around it, as well as safety, as well as sort of organization. So I kind of like that. I feel like a lot of it might resonate for some. It does for me around like career and career pathing forward, but I don't know. Thoughts.
So you're saying, okay, so this full moon, the super moon that is in Virgo, means that a lot of the things that are coming to culmination and fruition will relate to this order, to the clarity, to the, I guess I also think of details a lot when I think of Virgo. And kind of the like, just like getting your house in line.
Yeah.
Like
the literal that and is, the metaphorical house too.
Yeah. I mean, I am super feeling that. Literally in the last 3 hours, Sean and I have had a major sense of that, of just some things that are happening. He was supposed to do this training and it was a training that I did back in December. And after an hour, they're going to say, you know, like, now's your chance to decide. Do you want to be in this training or do you not want to be in this training? And he walked out and he's like, you know what? I actually don't want to do this training. I'm like, I see all these things that essentially I'm putting into order. Like, I have this vision. I know what I need to do. And now I just need to like sit down and do it. And it was, and literally that just happened the last 3 hours. And that's exactly like, I think that feels like that's in line with what you're talking
about.
That's
very fitting. I love that for him, that became very clear. Like, you know what? I've gotten what I need to get out of this. And now I have a very clear path forward. So like, wow, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And it then ended up happening with like, then for both of us, it was like, oh yeah, like we have 95 things that we've been kind of talking about or working around. And now let's wrap it all up in a bow and be like, oh yeah, we don't need to make any more. I want to say almost like we don't need to like debate about this anymore. Let's just move and let's just be done. And so for me, I think that the culmination is not the project is done, but rather the deciding is done, right? Like now I can just run with the project because we don't need to debate the pros and the cons and do we want to do this? Do we not want to do this? It's like, oh no, let's just, okay, put it into action.
Love, because there's layers to all of it. And I would say that's very Virgo. Virgo is layers. It's not like one and done, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, which is really Aries, if I'm honest, because that's me. Like, let's just, all right, we done?
Yeah!
But Virgo and Virgo being like 6 months, almost 6 months apart from an Aries, like, mm-hmm. it makes sense. It's sort of, you've matured in that way. You're, that sign does represent the details, the organization. It's also like, it is by nature a career-oriented sign. It just is. Same with Capricorn. Those are two very career-oriented signs. So
fascinating. I didn't know this, and now I'm like, wait, can we dive into Capricorn? But I know that's all going to happen in time too. But I guess I will say, like, the Virgo layer thing, like, that completely speaks to me, because I'm always, and I think that's also why I like Ayurveda, of like getting to the root cause mm-hmm. of things. But in general, I'm like, but why?
Right.
But why? Oh my gosh. And here's another aspect of it that I didn't think about. Oh, and I said I didn't want to go for this reason and that reason. And but also there was this kind of like third cosmic reason. Like, so that's fascinating.
I love that. I have a cousin who's a Virgo, and like what I've learned from him over the years of getting to know him better, because I've dated Virgos. Like I have a lot of Virgo presence in my life. And there were times when I was younger where I was like not completely accepting of who I was, so I would, you know, easily mm-hmm. be like, well, Virgos are just so nitpicky, and it's very easy to say that. It can be, but what I've learned is if you want to absorb and learn all of the details to a thing, like name a thing, for example, my cousin loves to cook. I've learned mm-hmm. so many amazing little tips, tricks, techniques, and I have a friend who's like this too, also a foodie, that it's just, whoa, I never would have looked into that the way you did. And I feel like I just got to gain all this awesome knowledge from your like painstaking hours of research. And in that way, like, it's a beautiful, what a beautiful like gift Virgos are to this world, because y'all are willing to put in the time and effort to figure out how things tick so that you can break it down and make it make sense to others.
It's true. And then on the other hand, I'm like, and then I have this appreciation for people that can just accept things at face value sometimes. And just like, why don't we just like just be here, move on, and like go with what flow is happening. And that would be really lovely, versus needing to know exactly why everything went down. I wonder, does that relate to then also like taking an extra long time to like process things and events? Because you need to like examine all the different layers at which that you process them.
It does make sense. I would say yes. And I would definitely look closer at your moon sign and your Mercury sign. So back in your chart, because those would, I think, also be, and if I recall correctly, I don't have it pulled up, but you might have some overlaps in there. So that would make sense that you feel strongly.
Yeah, I'll have to think about that. Yes, I do have to. I have to look at that again. I can't remember right now what my moon and my Mercury were. Ooh, I gotta think about that. Actually, my Mercury might have been Leo.
Libra.
But I do have
it.
To,
it's Libra, and then your Libra. Yeah, and then your moon is Aquarius. So
yes,
very yes, and Aquarians are very also like the word I would use is like studious, like students. Learners and Libras yeah. are they yeah. like to make they like to weigh all possibilities
sense.
Yeah so
yes.
all makes
yeah
sense.
Create the order of the universe.
That makes so basically that's so fascinating. I am born to be a
yes.
thinker is ultimately what I'm
yes
right here. Thank goodness that we're here. I get to learn all about me in these
I
conversations
love it.
great. It's really great.
Awesome. Okay, so Supermoon, Virgo. What else is shaking?
Well, one thing that hit me today, and I mentioned before, and you know, I've become a practitioner of tarot. And I wanted yes. to just tie a little bit of that, because if anyone is interested in it, first of all, hit me up. I'm all about it. I'm learning. I'm very much a student. And I started participating in this monthly challenge by this really awesome tarot reader. Her name is Lindsay Mack, and she has an Instagram and a yes. podcast. And I sent you a podcast. She's somebody who's just like, wow, really, really intuitive, really good at breaking things down and really good at communicating things cleanly and in a really emotional mm-hmm. and very like connective way. But the whole point of me bringing tarot up is like, I've done several polls in the past few days because I've been just struggling with little things here and there. And that's where I turn now. I've learned that I can like pull some cards, I can journal, and I tend to have some clarity afterwards, even if the clarity is that you don't get to have clarity right now. So, which happens a lot. So many of the cards have moons. In fact, there's a card called the moon. The High Priestess has a crescent moon. And I just love that it reinforces this idea that the moon represents our inner world. So while it's easy to kind of think like, okay, it's in Virgo, so now we have to organize, period. It's actually, you know, there's a deeper layer to it, which is that what's happening in our inner worlds and what's happening that people can't see that we're not necessarily revealing, because maybe it's finding some clarity and organization around your inner world, the world that you don't show everybody. Mm-hmm. So yes, for sure, it can be the outer world. I don't think that it's ever that prescriptive or exclusive. The moon is inclusive of everything. But I just loved that the idea that it's a time to be introspective, full waxing, waning, all of it. It's a time to just think through what phase am I in right now in my own inner world and like what needs attention. So I just wanted to share that and get right at your thoughts. Yeah.
I really love that. And it's kind of funny because even when I think about the people that I work with and people that I'm most drawn to and people that I just love the most in my life, ultimately one of the major themes is they're reflective people. Mm-hmm. And self-reflective particularly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really interesting one because I know that I'm a very, very, very self-reflective person. And so some of that is just maybe just a like attracts like kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I kind of have to feel but everyone kind of needs that, right? Like, I think it's such an important aspect to at least be curious about yourself and to be curious about your inner world and to know that it's there and that it's moving and that it's dynamic, that we're not just, okay, thank you. Chakras, right? So we're not just receivers, we are also creators. And one of the things that I love most, and something that really speaks to me a lot when we talk about the chakras, is that the second chakra is our creativity. And so if you're familiar with the chakras, you know, you move up the chakras, and it's kind of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Maslow's hierarchy of needs are actually based on the chakras. And if you look at the hierarchy of needs, the first thing's food, clothing, shelter. And then in the chakra system, the second layer, your material needs are met. Your second layer, it actually is about your creativity and what you make in your world. And there's a lot of other aspects to the second chakra. But this sense of creating is really base and really important to our world and to feeling purposeful. Mm-hmm. Now I lost my train of thought, but that was supposed to relate to being self-reflective somehow. Do you remember
sometimes we get so reflective, we forget what we're reflecting on. No, totally. I think, the idea too, though, that it, when you think about a moon phase, right? There's a lens you can view your self-reflection through. It's not just who am I every day? Cause that can get cumbersome. Mm. That can get tiring. I was actually trying to listen to The Untamed Soul yesterday, by Michael Singer, which I think I should probably be reading, but instead of listening, but hey, here we are. But, just some of the deep thought provoking questions. I was like, I can't right now. I don't want to actually know who I am right now. And I don't want to dig deeper. And that, because some days that's just how it is. Some days we're human. And I think that part of what I love about the moon cycle and then how it relates to chakras and all this sort of metaphysical stuff we do talk about here is that it's acknowledgement that we're human, that we're also spirit.
Yes.
And that there's no a perfect equation to strike harmony forever, because if we did, then we wouldn't be here. And I love that idea that we're here to learn and we're here to kind of find that perfect marriage between the two, but realizing that it's a lifelong journey.
100%. And it's, I just recently read The Artist's Journey, which is by Stephen Pressfield. Have you ever read any of his work?
I'm writing it.
Awesome dude. So he's fascinating. So he writes novels. He wrote The Legend of Bagger Vance. That's one that most people know of.
Yeah.
But he is very well known in another world for his nonfiction. And so his first book was called The War of Art. And it's about basically everything that gets in the way of us and our creativity and our creative potential. So it's all about you versus this thing called the resistance, which is that resistance to actually create in the world. And he's had a few different books about this. They're all amazing, super easy to read, very inspiring about actually living your purpose and finding your creativity and your creative potential. And just side note that I do think that creativity is more than just being a writer, a painter. It can be whatever your 9-to-5 job is, marketing is creative, all of it is. So anyway, you're consulting. Some of the things you do, Kathleen, everything. So, but The Artist's Journey, his latest one, love it because he's actually talking about the creative process and how it relates to the hero's journey, the very Joseph journey. And this gets back to exactly what you're talking about, Kathleen, which is the fact that it's not just one journey. It's not I figured out, what my purpose is. Now it's done.
Right.
Now it's easy. Yeah, that was kind of traumatic when I was young, but I figured it out. I went to therapy for 2 years. All's done.
Right.
Right. We keep revisiting. We keep growing. We keep finding new things that we are working on and thinking about and wondering about. And this is this journey that we take again and again and again, and it's a dynamic process. And rather than that being something that's really tiring and annoying, it's actually a really beautiful thing. I think it's beautiful that I get to check in every morning. Hey, how are my doshas doing? Am I feeling super vata today? Hey, how are my chakras doing? Is my heart open today? I actually think that's a really lovely thing. And same, I do the same thing with my movement, with my, the food that I'm eating, with my mindfulness practice, with my connection with friends. And it's, it's kind of little car tune-ups, and it's actually giving you that lens to say, hey, what's showing up today? Because today is a new day.
Right.
And it's okay if it's not perfect. It's okay if I feel great. But if anything else, I think that awareness makes it more likely that you're going to have more better days. One, because you can check things out before they get into catastrophic levels.
Yes.
My favorite. We talked about this a couple weeks ago in yoga. I'm not sure if you were there, but about how, that if you ignore pain, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And my favorite song for this is Look What You Made Me Do by Taylor Swift, because that's kind of what it is. It's you kept ignoring this issue, and now look what you made me do. Now this issue had to get huge because you wouldn't pay attention.
Yep.
And so, those daily maintenance pieces, it's not annoying. It's keeping yourself in a more stable form of balance rather than ending up in look what you made me do territory.
Right.
And so this just gives us this beautiful framework to see it and to keep checking in and to feel really lovely.
It's
really real.
I love that. I really do. Because it's it's a cycle. It's spiralic. We're not evolving. Well, we're in a performance and achievement-based culture. That's just the fact. So
that's true.
It's hard because a lot of us have been hardwired to achieve. It's okay, I'm going to do yoga because one day I'm going to get a handstand and hold it for 10 minutes and then I'm going to be the best at yoga. And it's but that's not actually why it's been created, A, and B, it's not actually beneficial really to just get there, because there always needs to be a new milestone when you start operating that way. And let's be real, that can be a really awesome way to learn things physical nature and to train yourself and to manage the way you eat, all of that. I do think there's something to be said about goal setting. So I'm not in any way poo-pooing goal setting. It's more just the mindset of well, crap. The fact that the progress has to be linear, and it's not.
Yes.
And so the moon cycle reminds us that it's not linear. it's not. And if you keep ignoring it and pushing it down, like T-Sway said, like eventually it's going to come out in some way, shape, or form that you probably didn't predict and you probably have to clean up after. I can attest to that 1,000,000,000% in multiple things in my life, but for sure, like my inner world, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love that.
I love that. And I think that's such a great point that it's not linear. I think about this a lot too, because our biology and just how we are as humans, like we are hardwired to, I guess, should I say hardwired? We have a huge tendency towards simplification.
Yes.
We are pattern making machines, right? And this allows us to survive, because if I had to think about remembering to breathe and remembering to beat my heart while I remember to talk to you, like that would get really hard. Or if I had to remember, how do I open a door every single time? Like that would really suck. But on the other hand, as a result, we end up trying to create the patterns and trying to simplify. And just like you said, suddenly we're like, wait, but then I've been handstanding and trying to do it for this long. How come it doesn't feel good today? How come this isn't working today? How come, you know, we end up with a lot of expectation and a lot of stress and sadness because things don't fit into an oversimplified lens sometimes.
No, that is like, that runs so true, I think probably for most people. But I think that to your point too, like that's where those little tune-ups come in, because then you have a barometer for it. Like, you know what? 3 days in a row, I woke up and did not feel like meditating, or I did not feel like taking the vitamin I normally take, or whatever. I woke up in a poopy ass mood. That's like, I woke up in a crappy mood 3 days in a row. And then the sun came out. What was it? Earlier this week, like Wednesday.
Yes.
I was like, you know what? Something just clicked for me. I do struggle with undiagnosed, but I think it's real seasonal depression. And I do struggle with not being, like, I don't feel as connected to me and my inner world when I'm not able to be outside. And so being that it's been super cold, I haven't really been with my dog a lot lately. Like all these things that normally pull me outside are kind of causing me to stay indoors and not get as much of the fresh air and all that. So anyway, that was a way for me to be like, oh yeah, I haven't been doing that.
And you know what's so cool? Like getting back to like this idea of layers and like doing the hero's journey again and again and again, you know, 3 weeks from now, like you're going to wake up in a crappy mood and you'll be like, well, I don't know. And then like an hour later, you're gonna be like, oh my God, I didn't go outside today. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to see it and you're going to recognize it that much faster. And like, you'll be able to overcome it that much faster. And like, that doesn't mean that 3 weeks from now you suck. Like, it's not like, gosh, Kathleen, why can't you remember that lesson from 3 weeks ago? It's like, no, you learned it a little faster. You did it a little differently. You appreciated your time outside that much more. Like, it's just going to keep coming back in a better and better way, not in a, you know, like, gosh, Kathleen, gosh, you know, sometimes when things are repeating themselves, it doesn't mean, it's not a bad thing,
right?
That we come into the same obstacles again and again. We're in fact supposed to come up against the same obstacles again and again to get better and better at weathering them.
Right. It's so true.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that actually. Even just you mentioning that makes me feel even better about my handstanding. Cause I had a goal like, and I was doing it every day. And actually it was just, you know, when I was pregnant and before my miscarriage, you know, I kind of stopped doing it, and holy my goodness, I've lost so much strength in arms and belly particularly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I popped upside down for the first time in probably 5 or 6 months, about 2 days ago. And I was like, shoot, this is not where I want to be, but I've also learned a lot, you know what I mean, in the process. And it's like, okay, we try again.
Right.
You know, and you just keep trying again.
Right.
And that's a good thing.
It is.
The other thing that came up for me is actually this conversation is also making me appreciate a little bit more the complexity of astrology and all of these houses.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, we all know, oh, I'm a Virgo, but I can't remember that my Mercury is in Libra, and that's okay.
Right.
But it also is that reminder of, hey, I am not just Libra, and not all Libras are made the same.
Right.
And there are other forces at work that are creating this dynamic, beautiful human being that you see in front of you, and that, you know, I can appreciate those nuances that exist rather than being in Virgo box. Because frankly, like, some of that, I mean, I'm sure there's aspects even of Aries where you're like, yeah, I get that, but I wouldn't call that my self-definition.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Like, trust me, hearing how reckless I am all the time gets annoying.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
And I know, it's like, I know I should think more before I act. But also what's so great about me is I don't think a lot before I act. So then magical things happen, but then also disastrous things happen. So yeah, it's like there's light and dark to all of it. And it's what I love about the complexity too, like you're saying, is that I'm not just one thing, even if my chart has like six planets in Aries, oops, but I'm not just that one thing. And also that, I don't know, to just tie it back to something I'm working on is that, like, our light is not good and our dark is bad. Our light is our light, and our dark is our dark, and both should be given some reverence and worked with, and like collaborate with your light and your dark, you know, like think of them as teammates. Like, how can I learn the most out of the situation by understanding my darkness and then embracing my lightness? So.
Oh, I love that. I mean, there's something to be learned from both sides. It's a really great point, because actually, you know, how you even react negatively, for example, or how you feel when specifically things happen. Again, these are just lessons. These are just information.
Yes.
So it's not like, yeah, every time I can't get that handstand or whatever happens and I get angry, it doesn't mean, oh, and so now you suck because you're an angry person. It's like, no, like, I was talking about this yesterday with a client of mine, you know, realizing what your filters are. Yeah, I tend towards the anger. Okay, great. This is good to know, because that means next time you get angry, you can say, hey, chances are I'm slightly over angering right now.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are what's happening right now doesn't have to be as angry as it is. Or if you're someone that always lets something slide, right? Like, you're always like, oh, it's okay. Like, the next time you say it's okay, then you get to say, hey, I should probably check in, because maybe this isn't okay.
Right.
You know, like, I know my brain wants to say it's okay, but I also know that that's the filter that I have. So I should actually recheck in and make sure it really is okay.
Right.
Or if I'm just saying my default. So, like, the dark is huge and important and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I never really put it that way before, but there's also, I don't know what I really mean when I say beautiful, but I'm thinking about, like, you know, kind of some of my negative reactions when they do happen, or the negative emotions I go to. And I just feel like immense compassion for that person. Not like, you know, it's like, oh, honey, like, you're just doing your best.
Right.
You're just doing everything.
Isn't that the goal? Like, that's such a lesson I think a lot of us are, I mean, that's really, not to boil life down into one thing, because it's many things, but, like, for me, in my experience and what I've learned over the past few years in my own spiritual journey and my own sort of, like, transformation away from being a walking zombie who just wanted to achieve all the time, and to being like, oh, we could, and I was more than that, but the idea that, like, dark shouldn't be shunned. It's not bad.
Uh-huh.
It's actually, when you send it love and you tell it it's okay and I understand and I have compassion for you, that's actually where suddenly the growth starts to happen. Like, suddenly you start to see others in a different way with more compassion, because I certainly struggle with compassion for myself. And then my, my lens to the outer world becomes, I can be less compassionate to others. So working on numero uno is, like, I mean, it's such a, like, platitude, but it's so true. If you can forgive yourself, even that thing, that, like, one thing that you think is unforgivable, if you can do that, and I think you've lived, like, a full life, and you've kind of, like, you've opened your heart to your full self.
And that brings us right back to, that's the power of the moon. And that's why we pay attention to it. And that's what's so useful. Oh, okay. So I was ready to close, and then I thought that you might really love this, Kathleen. Actually, like, it just came to brain, and I'm like, oh my God, this is just a really cool thing. So I'm currently watching One Strange Rock on Netflix. It's a National Geographic, like, 8-episode series hosted by Will Smith. And it's, I know, it's amazing. It's they're talking to astronauts. And so people that have lived outside in space for, I think, 1,000 days, you know, combined, and how do they see the world? And it's basically a huge lesson in like biology and the history of the Earth. And it's like, but also in what it means to be human and what it means to be a creature in the universe. It's beautiful. I'm only partway through. But something that we just learned about in episode 2 was about the fact that the moon was actually a part of Earth. So
did you know this?
Yes, but like I forgot I knew.
yeah, of course that happens. Yeah, totally. So like essentially like the Earth, and there was this other thing, I think it was called Theia. It was like these like molten, like crazy things like floating around the sun in rotation around the sun. And then this like huge, I think it was an asteroid that, no, maybe Theia and Earth ran into each other. Yes. So these two big rocks ran into each other, like crashed together combined. And this huge chunk fell off of Earth and became our moon. And that's why like the Earth and the moon, they have like very similar rock structures. Mm-hmm. Like they're like the atoms are the same, but, and that's why it's held so closely together. Like that's why we have this huge moon that's so close to Earth and is such a gravitational pull. And it's like very fascinating. Isn't that really cool? Because that's like this shadow self, mm-hmm. right? Like we are Earth and we have this moon, and they are one and the same, and they are partners and they are mirrors, and they don't exist quite right without each other.
I love
thank you. Yeah. Like they just feel so fitting.
It does. I love that. It really does show you like how interconnected the cycle of the moon is with what happens here on Earth. Like it's not from just like a completely scientific standpoint, but then also from an emotional standpoint, like they were once one and they got separated. That's amazing.
Yeah, they are these little twins. And this is, and so, you know, our work is bringing our own little Earth and moon together, of feeling our own light and darkness, allowing them to coexist and allowing them to be one and to be there.
I love that.
Oh my gosh, I do too. Kathleen, anything you would invite for our listeners for the next couple of weeks, or something for them to do or think about as they think about this super moon, the full moon of, is there anything specific that's coming to brain for you?
I would just say, it goes along with what I've said before. First of all, you just really brought it home though, so I kind of just want to end there. But just the idea that, first of all, also acknowledgement of, we are in the dead of winter. And if you're in the DC area in particular, or the Northeast or the Mid-Atlantic, like be gentle with yourself. And maybe instead of feeling like you need to finish something or scramble at this full moon to like complete that project, maybe it's actually like just looking inward that evening for yourself. And just like you said, kind of taking a pulse check, like what's going on? Instead of feeling like you need to accomplish or do something for this moon, even though it is super Virgo, I would just say, like, if you're not feeling that, be gentle and just let yourself be.
I love that. I really appreciate that. I think that's a huge, important one, because, and you alluded to it earlier, the seasonal depression or seasonal affectiveness disorder. It's like the fact that we even question that it's a real thing is kind of silly, because it's like, how could it not impact us that this, like the sun, which legitimately gives us life, like we don't see it for 4 days, right? Like, of course it's going to impact us. Like, of course it is. I never even would say to deny that the seasons are going to impact you would be crazy. Like, we all 100% all the time have seasonal affectiveness disorder.
Yes.
So anyway, so I really, really, really appreciate that. And as always, I learned so much, not just about me, but about the world. So thank you, Kathleen, for being here.
Thank you, Sam. I love it. This is so fun.
And you can always catch up with Miss Kathleen at Spark Yoga. She's teaching there, let's see, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday?
Yes.
Yes, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. And then on Instagram at KBB323. You always have amazing posts and things that you're talking about, so I always appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, have a fabulous Friday and a fabulous full moon.
You too.
Bye, darling.
Bye, babe.